There's nothing like a good old unclean spirit to start our day with. But that's exactly how Jesus got started with his ministry of healing in the Gospel of Mark. Mark is such a wonderful gospel. Mark gets right to the point and says it like it is. So Jesus' very first act in this story is this healing. Now, in the next few verses, just in the first chapter and in the beginning of the second chapter, he is going to heal Simon's mother-in-law. He's going to heal a whole slew of people in Galilee. A man who's suffering from leprosy is going to get healed, and a paralyzed man is going to be able to walk. But one of the keys to understanding Mark is that Jesus' actions are the message. So healing this man with unclean spirits first means something according to Mark. We can really probably get our heads around healing an older woman who had a fever or all those Galileans who had sicknesses, illnesses, and were injured. Probably a man with a skin disease and somebody who had trouble walking. But what do we do with this unclean spirit that lives in this man? I served at Idlewild Presbyterian Church for 16 years, and most of my work was with people in the community who were poor, who suffered homelessness, people who often had addictions and mental illness. And one day, a man walked up to me, and he said, "You know, I am so thankful. God has taken away my unclean spirit." I looked at him and thought, that's just not a word we use very often. I don't really know what to do with the term unclean spirit. And he said, "I used to have a terrible temper. I stabbed somebody one time, but God healed me of that unclean spirit." So for us, unclean spirits, it's a strange term, but let's think about how we do know where we do see unclean spirits. We all probably have seen them and maybe some experienced them. There are those experiences that keep us in a dark, lonely place, separated from God. They're scary and they may be dangerous. Through the ages, theologians have named these unclean spirits many things: depression, mental illness, addiction, hunger, greed, pride, obsession with money and having and power. That list goes on and on, but the truth is, I think we know an unclean spirit when we see it. Now, in 2019, we are not likely to go around talking about unclean spirits, but here's some ways that I see them. When that child on the television shows that cup, bulging eyes, bulging belly, that unclean spirit of hunger is keeping people from living full lives, from living long lives. A friend is out of work for days. She cries at the drop of a hat, says life isn't worth living. That unclean spirit of depression possesses many people at many times. It's an unclean spirit that keeps people in a lonely, dark, terrifying place. Then there's the mother who works 80 hours a week and tells herself that she's going to spend time with her children on the weekend as soon as she possibly can. That unclean spirit that we call workaholism possesses people, possesses us, so that we don't have full lives. Sometimes I think we know these unclean spirits because they're the things that when we see them, we think, I don't really want to look at that. I don't really want to see homelessness and poverty. I don't really want to see addiction and pain. But I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we all have seen some unclean spirits. We all have known some personally. We know what it is to be selfish and resentful. Sometimes we are dishonest. Sometimes we are unkind. There are things in our lives that keep us from living full lives. And in the time that we live in, it's important for us to realize that unclean spirits are not partial to individuals. They impact communities and institutions. We see armies that fight and send their children in to fight and die. Nations are being infiltrated with drugs that are killing scores and scores of people. There are cities all around us, even our own, where young African American men look over their shoulders in fear. There are churches where there are theological disagreements that are so great that churches divide and split. People don't speak to each other. Mothers and their children are divided because of church. You know, there are families we'd least expect where abuse is taking place, where there is fear and violence in the home. So in 2019, we might say there are no such thing as unclean spirits, but I can't think of a better term for some of these things. Anything more descriptive, the things that keep people from living full lives. So when we look at this text in the Gospel of Mark, there's an unclean spirit who walks into the synagogue. As a matter of fact, there are two people in the synagogue who stick out like sore thumbs. So first is Jesus. Now, a synagogue is a place where people gather, the scribes teach, common people can listen and learn. But enter stage left, Jesus, with his four new friends. They probably are muddy and gross and smell like fish, and they come right into the synagogue. And instead of doing what he's supposed to do, which is listen, Jesus begins to teach and speak. A sore thumb in that place. And we know that whatever he said must have been powerful because the people who heard him were astounded and they said, "Who is this man who teaches with authority? More authority than all the scribes put together." And then enter stage right. Another person. This man with this unclean spirit. Can you imagine what that might look like if someone came in this space right now with an unclean spirit? He sticks out because anything unclean was not allowed in the synagogue. And here he is screaming and yelling in church. So these two sore thumbs face each other, and I can only imagine that spectacle. I'm sure people were hurrying to get away from that possessed man. They were scared of this person who spoke out who wasn't supposed to. And just as everybody's running away in fear, Jesus walks toward. He goes toward the strange man, and he speaks to them. Now, it's important, I think, that we see that we are told nothing about this man. And I think the reason for that is the man is not the problem. The disease the man has is the unclean spirit. So Jesus goes and he speaks to that unclean spirit. It's also interesting to see that that spirit, no one else yet knows, but that spirit knows who Jesus is. And that spirit is afraid. There's no question about it. That spirit that takes life away is keenly aware of this person who gives life, this one who is more powerful. So remember that I said back in the beginning that Mark is a concise gospel. Mark gets to the point. He has no story about Bethlehem and Jesus' birth. There are no shepherds. In the first 20 verses of the chapter, we've had John the Baptist baptize Jesus and say, "God has said, you are my beloved son." Jesus has been taken into the wilderness by Satan. Jesus has called his first disciples. And then he goes to Capernaum and he starts teaching in the synagogues. Whatever it was, this unclean spirit was something of this earthly world. Something that left that man room for very little joy, for very little life, for relationships, for hope. That unclean spirit, though, was no match for Jesus. It's important to see that the very first thing that Jesus does in the Gospel of Mark is get rid of that spirit. It's a snapshot of how Mark understands who Jesus is. For Mark, the things that Jesus does, Jesus' actions are the message. For Mark, Jesus is the kingdom of God. He's not just one who brings the kingdom or teaches about the kingdom. What Jesus does is the Gospel of Mark's picture of the kingdom of God. Jesus exorcises an unclean spirit because in God's kingdom, there is not any room at all for unclean spirits. So in the next few verses, we know that Jesus is going to cleanse a leper because when God's kingdom is near, there is no disease and no one is excluded from the community. We know that Jesus is going to heal a paralytic and then a man with a withered hand because in God's kingdom, there's no physical injury, there's no disease. Jesus is going to calm a storm because in God's kingdom, there are no catastrophic disasters. Jesus exorcises demons right and left because in God's kingdom, there is no mental illness, there is no addiction, there is no selfishness, there is no fear. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus acts. There's not as much talking, there's action, because Jesus is showing us what God's kingdom is like. You know, I've said that there is much covered in this first chapter and the beginning of the second, but I left out one thing. And I think it may be the most important thing because it is the thesis of Mark's gospel. It said Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying this: "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Mark is all about our saying, yes, we're broken, and we turn away from that because Jesus Christ came into the world. Jesus is the kingdom of God. Jesus is the new heaven and the new earth. When Jesus is around, the unclean spirits flee. In this life, the truth is we may just have glimpses of the kingdom, but our calling as Christian people is to know what that kingdom is, to know Jesus Christ, so that we might live out that kingdom on earth, that we might indeed be Christ's kingdom on earth. So when that image of hunger tugs at our hearts, we offer food, just like Jesus did. When the unclean spirit of snobbery and exclusion wounds other people, we walk toward those people who are excluded and invite them in. When the unclean spirit of self-righteousness shows up in our own hearts and souls, we remember whose we are and we return to humility. When the unclean spirit of racism divides our city, we sit down and we have dinner with God's people who may not look like us but worship the same God. And when that unclean spirit of resentment closes us off, we offer forgiveness so that we might know the abundant life that God has promised. So in the Gospel of Mark, to know Jesus is to know the kingdom of God, to follow Jesus in this earth, in this time where we've been set, is to live out and build up the kingdom of God. So I went back to my friend at Idlewild who told me about the unclean spirit of a bad temper, about the dangerous life he'd lived and how he was healed. And I said, "So tell me about that." I was thinking there might be some sort of miracle, like God dropped down and healed me. But that's not what he said. He said, "Well, it wasn't in prison that I got better. It wasn't through money. It wasn't because I was afraid of dying. You know, I'd say it was really because of my aunt. She went out and found me when I was living on the streets and took me back to her house. She went and visited me in jail. She read me the Bible, whether I liked it or not. She didn't just give me money. She didn't give me any money, but she'd always give me a sandwich. She just kept on loving me. She didn't put up with my shenanigans, but she just kept on loving me." If it looks like Jesus and talks like Jesus and acts like Jesus, Maybe it is a glimpse of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe if we look like Jesus and talk like Jesus and act like Jesus, maybe we can be someone's glimpse of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.